some of us, it is our first day that we meet the committee this year. We are in a meeting, Mr. Bison, if you don't mind. Mr. Bison, will you tell everybody else that we are in a meeting, including yourself? Thank you. But one thing that I can tell you, having been meeting for the first time and second time for us, or some of us, it feels like the year has long been started. The kind of activities that have been taking place are proving that this indeed is going to be a long year for some of us. But I can assure you, for some of us, it is going to be one of the shortest years. That's because of the kinds of work and activities that are going to take place. All aimed at doing one thing, one thing alone. That thing that has brought us here. Having to make sure that our people's lives are improved for the better. This is what has brought us here. Nothing else, nothing more. What that means is that we are going to remain focused. We shall have to remain focused in doing exactly what we have been sent by our people here to come and do. Improve the lives of our people for the better. Anything else is less important. Anything else our people out there will either praise us or punish us for what we have come here to do. We come here again and I repeat to improve the lives of our people for better. Nothing else. And nothing more. I would want to believe that that should be our guiding principle. What we are doing today, having listened to the President on Thursday, putting aside whatever else happened on that day, we have come here again, guided by, if you like, a policy statement that opens up for the year, that guides us going forward in this particular year. The priorities, therefore, have since been set. There are some aspects of that that have got to do with our sector that we are involved in, that is water and sanitation. That's what brings us here today. We have received submissions to that effect, which we shall then have to appraise ourselves with and be able to take our processes forward. That shall be number one. Number two, we did receive a draft program for the committee for the term. Unfortunately, members do not take time to reflect on their own inputs to an extent that we find ourselves having to, if you like, literally being driven by our administration. Precisely because our members do not take time off and be able to reflect on suggestions from the committee secretariat, on some ideas that shall have to form part of our program. Our program runs up until the 30th of March this term. We shall then have to see how best to take these processes forward that are uppermost in our minds. I want us at some point to reflect on that program, that we are not taking time off in our own spare time, to see as to how best we deal with our program and the kind of issues and priorities that shall be set for ourselves. having said those few words and without having to make it take it longer, and also that we only have limited time, which runs until 1 o'clock for us to be able to start the programs that have been set for ourselves. Let me take this opportunity and welcome the minister, the deputy minister, the DGs that are here present. I saw Mrs. Martin, Mr. Neil. And the rest of the staff from the department, and also good morning members as well. Good morning, Minister and Deputy Minister. Do we have anybody who is not in our meeting today from the member? Mr. Gallo has tell us his apology due to prior commitment. I saw Mr. Chalembe. Mr. Chalembe is an alternate, mother. He's an alternate. Oh yeah, okay. I saw him outside. I guess he was going to another meeting. Minister, the agenda item is quite straightforward. The implications for water and sanitation sector on the state of the nation addressed by the President.
Morning, Chair, morning, Deputy Minister, colleagues and officials, and thanks for inviting us. On a Wednesday, it is Cabinet. In my previous life, I used to preside over Cabinet, and one thing I used to say was Cabinet takes precedence. But understanding the tight programs of Parliament and the Executive Committee, one has always tried to ensure that I myself or the Deputy Minister to attend sessions. Just as an explanatory note, we have signed performance agreements with the President, and one of the things we have agreed with the President on is that both myself and the Deputy Minister take collective responsibility on the functioning of the Department. So when the Deputy Minister is not here and I'm here, I represent her when she's not here. When I'm not there, she also acts on my behalf. She doesn't have a piece of the department as her responsibility. She has the entire department as her responsibility. And that's how we have opted to have a relationship. And the only constraint is that when it comes to full cabinet meetings, the Deputy Ministers are not invited. And hence, when meetings are convened at the time when there's cabinet, then I would go to cabinet and the Deputy Minister would be here. In the state of the nation address, and I think just as an observation even around how people perceive the state of the nation address, our understanding of the state of the nation address is about reflecting on the year that was and even determining the program for the year that we are looking on, the calendar year, which then gets then populated in the deliberations as we move towards the new financial year, which is the budget speech by the Minister of Finance. How we make inputs into the State of the Nation address is based also on the continued programs, some of them that are a continuous program of not only a year, but programs that are multi-year, because our responsibilities are not necessarily short-term, but they are multi-year and they overlap over a number of years. We looked at what our strategic infrastructure programs, but also at the urgent matters that have to do with the responsibility of the department. And in that aspect, Chairperson, what the President presented and referred to I would say, as points of reference, have to deal with three aspects of the responsibility of the Department of Water and Sanitation. One is Water and Sanitation Infrastructure Development Program. Secondly, it's the area of the action plan for water supply to areas affected by water shortages. And then it also includes the areas that have been affected by droughts, such as in KwaZulu-Natal. And if colleagues will remember, we also have the 24 priority districts in the country. And if you recall what the President said when he spoke about the support to local authorities, the number of district municipalities that he had referred to, but also he had also referred to the hotspot areas that were identified in the five-year plan that he presented post the election. Because there were those 24 priority areas, and then there were those hotspot areas. Then the third one, what the President picked up, was in the area of water conservation and primarily looking at the water leaks. He referred to the cost of water loss, and he referred also to our solutions and interventions that are going to contribute to our skills development, job opportunities, but again a war on leaks with the mobilization of the 15,000. And then overall, he referred to the significance of all of us taking responsibility in saving water. So that's the context in which the issues were raised by the President. Next week we will be having media briefings, and we will then be unpacking in detail all those areas when we go for the media brief, and then we will substantially then speak about these areas when we get into the budget debate after the allocations of the budget post the speech by Minister Ntlantlane. And that's primarily our reflection on the state of the nation address. I would not want us to assume that is all that the department is dealing with. Like I'm saying, there's a program up to 2030, the NDP. There's a five-year program, the medium-term strategic framework, which I would want colleagues not to actually forget. But then now zoom on to what is to be done within this year, notwithstanding many other things that we are involved in, such as the strategic infrastructure products, such as the support to local authorities, and so on and so forth. With your permission, Chair, I'm going to invite the Acting Director General, Ms. Margaret N. Gennaris, to then take us through the presentation, and will then field responses should questions arise between myself, the Deputy Minister, and the team. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair and Minister, Deputy Minister, and members of the committee. With regards to our presentation, we are going to deal with it, as Minister indicated, with in three parts. There is a fourth part in SONA that is referred to, where water also has a role to play, and that is with regards to the regulatory environment. But we have already dealt with that last year, so find it to just mention it as a chaos that we have now regulated on the number of days that we would be allowed to issue the water licenses, and that is now 300 days. Both water licenses, the EIA, the environmental documentation and requirements, as well as the mineral rights, should those licenses be required. So that has been dealt with. Just as the Minister said, the President has both indicated the progress, and that was the progress that we had. What we are focusing on is largely what we have been tasked to do in moving forward. With regards to Part A, I can indicate, Chair, that, and I believe everybody has the presentation, Chair, that there's no facilities here for projection. So I am going to speak to the hard copy. With regards to the infrastructure project, with regards to our infrastructure project, the first and major one that the president has referred to and that we are currently implementing is the Mzumbubu Water Project in the Eastern Cape. With regards to the project description, just very, very briefly, Mpabelanga Dam with a small-scale hydro generation is what is included in this scheme, with the water treatment works and bulk distribution infrastructure for portable and irrigation supply. You will recall that in that particular area we have a huge problem with regards to water supply. We believe that Mzumbubu will not only change the lives of people with regards to the provision of water, but will in fact also activate a viable economy in that region. It aims to develop a conjunction of scheme comprising two multipurpose dams and associated bulk water distribution infrastructure, both for domestic and irrigation water supply, as well as hydropower generation. The project is intended to stimulate socio-economic development in the area and the eastern province, Cape Province as a whole. It is estimated that the project is valued at 12.4 billion rand. Surgery is allocating indicative locations over the MTF, and for 2015-16, they've allocated 264 million, and in the outer year of 16-17, 430 million. The feasibility study in terms of the project status is that feasibility studies for Lalini Dam and Hydro Power Scheme is expected to finalize by March 2015 and the appointment of a professional service provider for design and supervision has also been finalized for the dam. So the dam is in design at the moment. We have indicated the program there that we expect the design and supervision to finalize. Our jobs, in fact, Chair, we expect the creation preliminary estimated at 5,500 during construction and at 3,700 during operation. We have included the implementation plan, but I'm not going to stop there. That is just for purposes of completion, that you have an idea of how we envisage this project to unfold. With regards to Mokolo and Crocodile Water Augmentation Phase 1, with regards to this project, it is the construction of a new 1.2 cubic meters of pumping station and 43 kilometers of a pipeline, a 900 millimeter diameter of 4.8 kilometers rising main from the pump station to our balancing reservoir will also be included, as well as a number of other pipes and the refurbishment of an existing 43 kilometer pipeline. Falls under this. The project is to supply raw water demand in the Waterberg area to ESCOM. In particular, you'll be interested, Chair and Committee, it's for the provision of water to Medupi and the Matimba Power Station, and Exaro for the National Power Generation, and the Alale Municipality for expected domestic growth as well. The project will use the Makola Dam as the source, and it will deliver 30 million cubic meters per annum water at completion of this phase. With regards to our physical progress, the land acquisition is completed. The pipeline has been deemed bottleneck to enable an additional 57% water supply out, and this is sufficient to commission 4 of the 2 feet units as water demand till December 2015. So in a nutshell, what we are able to announce is that in fact, with regards to water provision to Medupi, we are able to provide for Medupi's requirements. Of course, the program already started, share in September in 2009, and we believe that the project will finish completely in September of 2018. But it is on target as we speak, and as I say, phase one has been completed with regards to the provision of all implementation plan is provided, but as with the book, I'm not going to go into detail. This is just for your own education and for completion of our presentation. With regard to Makola and Kuda Water Augmentation Project Phase 2A, this is to augment the water supply for the Valley area for ESCOM and independent power producer generation associated with coal mining for ESCOM and Mpumalanga Coal, the Balale Municipality, and the Block Economic Development in the Waterberg coal fields. It comprises of a pension wheel, pump station, and 150 kilometers of pipeline to transfer water from the Crocodile River to the Lepalela area. Our first project here is at approximately 12 billion rand. We can indicate you the schematic description of the phases here. I'm not going to go into the details of it. With regard to the project status, Chairman, CPGA has received a mandate in terms of a ministerial director that was issued in May 2010, includes the implementation and co-funding of both the first phase as well as the second phase of the Mokolo-Crocodile water augmentation project. This was postponed, but it now once again regarded as urgent as the SONA, and so CPGA has been given the full go-ahead with regard to the project. With regard to some of the key issues, there really was a delay around the environmental impact assessment, but we have now indicated to PCA to go ahead with it, and phase two will also provide an alternative water supply for our electricity generation as Medupi and other outer users come online in the year ahead. Again, our implementation plan has been included so that you have a full view in terms of how the project unfolds in the ensuing months. With regard to bushbuck water supply, the project description is as follows. It is the installation of water recirculation, including associated valves and footing for bushbuck ditch. I know there has been a huge difficulty with regard to the supply of water in Limpopo. Also the construction of storage reservoirs, the bulk water connection, and installation of bulk and consumer water meters, as well as the refurbishment of existing bulk. The project aims at ensuring water service delivery in the entire Bushbuckridge local municipality. It is being implemented by our implementing agent, which is Rand Water, as an intervention under an MOU entered into between the Department of Water Sanitation as well as the Mpumalanga Provincial Government. It focuses on the entire value chain of water supply and is funded through our own NWRI as well as ENWI, Office of the Premier and the Municipal Infrastructure Grant in a multi-pronged approach, stemming from the bulk water supply scheme that has been extensively developed throughout Bush Passage. We have indicated the projected cost associated there. Suffice it also to say, with regard to this project, you would recall that there was an emergency intervention last year, but we have now developed a full implementation business plan and the implementation under the emergency scheme was around 96 million. That was by a letter of the minister implemented. But of course, if we have to deal with the entire bushbuck area, which is beyond the emergency area, the cost associated with that project has now grown substantially. So we cannot only provide to the emergency areas because the outer villages are in a similar position, and to prevent any emergency arising, rather are planning for full implementation of the and mitigating the difficulty of water supply in the greater Limpopo and Bushbuck Ridge area. With regard to the project status, Minister launched a completed mitigation project on the 13th of September 2014, as you are aware. Rainwater appointed an implementing agent to undertake 16 projects addressing 27 villages. This will start from February 2015. Our implementing agent is currently busy with project design, and time handover was on the 9th of February. With two current 69 villages, and Rand Water is currently in the process of procuring for the balance of 42 villages. We require, and this is the chair, what has been reported in the media recently, that 500 is in fact for the subsequent phases. It has not been sent yet. But we are looking at where we can find savings and or addressing to the Department of National Treasury to ensure that they have the requisite funds for this. We are most likely to take a phased approach with regard to the further implementation of the project given the magnitude of it, and so it will be a multi-year project. 25 notices have, as I speak, already been completed. With regard to the Giugini Bulk Water Supply Project, its scope is to increase the production of potable water and install bulk water infrastructure, as well as the reticulation network that will provide for 134,864 people north of Giugini with sustainable water supply. The project cost has been set at 1.3 billion. And the Department of Water Sanitation funded the bulk portion to the amount of 674 million. And KwaZulu-Natal funded the project escalation with 72 million. In Kanyokude, the municipality has not committed to funding for regulation because they are under some dire conditions with regard to their financial state, but we have allowed an amount of 252 million for the inclusion of Shimilu area, taking the committed amount to 950 million. And I'm sure that the Chair Minister would make some comments with regard to the issues around co-funding that is expected under the various grants and some of the difficulties that we've had and our undertaking to have discussion with Treasury around the difficulties that municipalities are facing. I've already spoken a little bit about the project design, but just a little bit of detail again. That raw water will be taken from the existing Mongola Fort Dam, which is Giugini Dam, through direct water from the dam outlet works. Construction is underway of new 40 milliliter per day works. That will be the new sub-regional water treatment work. And the bulk treated water supply system for the entire region comprises bulk gravity pipelines, riding mains, pump stations, and bulk storage reservoirs. Existing infrastructure will be incorporated into the bulk water supply system where possible, but the actual extent, which is practical and feasible, is of course limited. We've given you a map to indicate exactly where the location is and the circulation as well as the included. The next slide is similar and just provides you with an indication of the various substations as well as the reservoir that we envisage for the bulk supply. From there today, Natuli Water was appointed as our implementing agent in 2008. The business plan was provided in March 2009, and the appointment of our professional team was done in 2011, and first construction contract was awarded in 2012. Phase 1A has been completed and launched, and construction of our bulk water pipeline and reservoir for Zone 8, 10, 11, and 12, as indicated in the next slide, is underway, and the construction of the 40 megaliters of the regional water treatment work is also. Then, with regard to our major infrastructure projects that are underway, as has been articulated in the solar, and as the Minister indicated, these are some of the multi-year projects that we are undertaking. If you allow me, Chair, I'll go on immediately to Part B, which is the action plan for water supply to areas affected by water shortages. The Makana local municipality that has been in the media also since last year, existed in the Eastern Cape, we have allocated 66 million to upgrade the storage capacity of the James Clay water supply system to be done for future demand. Amatola Water Board has been appointed to form the staff, and we expect to start during the month, 15 financial year. The Water Board, of course, continues to assist the Makana municipality, operating its current infrastructure. Significant refurbished work on the bulk infrastructure is complete, including the replacement of the power line dedicated to house and sewer dam, power station, and INEC treatment. With regard to the Mopani district municipality in Limpopo, the Pele Northern Water has been appointed as our implementing agent for economy to accelerate the completion of the Giani water treatment work, upgrade and refurbishment for the repair of non-functional boreholes, and this is inclusive of the Mopani hospital where water and supply has clearly had a debilitating effect on services provision in that particular hospital and on health care. and the refurbishment of the Giani wastewater treatment works as well. We have included a borehole map of Giani waterworks to give you an indication of the extensive refurbishment that is required with regards to these boreholes. And in addition, we are also doing further assessments with regards to what is available on our groundwater so that we can do further drills as well. With regards to project, 32 villages receive bulk water supply, 22 villages receive water from boreholes. One village, that is Tiandani, receives camping services as a temporary measure, but in the slides ahead, I'm going to indicate exactly how we are going to deal with that particular village with a view to expect detanger, if I can use that word, Tiandani, while a permanent solution provide water is important. Though there is water supply in these villages, there are various challenges on the bulk and circulation that affect the total. So we would have completed the bulk water supply. There is now an issue of recirculation, and that recirculation or the difficulty there is that it has not been contained adequately, and that many of them have leaked. So as we open the bulk system, we must also repair the recirculation as we move. We have included the list of the villages that are supplied from our bulk pipeline, as well as the list of villages that are now supplied from the borehole. As indicated, Chair, if I could just look into the challenges quickly with regards to Tiandani. The time Ginap booster is out of operation due to the cavitation of pumps, as well as the pump station at Tiandani itself is non-functional. There are illegal connections and other internal distribution challenges there that is having an impact with regard to the pressure that is they are able to provide. We have indicated the remedial action for each of those challenges. We have also indicated what the completion date is for all of those that we have found there. With regard to the Mapungubwe scheme, the supply is not commissioned due to blockage on the line. These are the details, and the reason we have put it here, Chair, is so that you have an idea that we know exactly where some of the difficulties are. We're not giving you a pie in the sky indication, so we've dropped into the detail to take the committee into our confidence and also to explain how we are going to deal with the difficulties that are there. With regards to groundwater augmentation, the boreholes have been underlined and transformers were stolen. So we are now in the process of applications around transformers, and we believe that by June 2050 we would have dealt with all of the difficulties that are there. With regards to the challenges affecting supply, we've also delineated clearly where some of the difficulties are. We've indicated the remedial action. With regards to Giani water treatment work, we've indicated that our intervention has a following impact. We have able to expand the project with regards to supply to 6 megaliters per day. We are busy with some flagging. So while we have put the 6 milliliters there, as I said, once we open the bulk supply, we are able to pick up some of the other difficulties around the line that is there. The refurbishment project has been completed, and the total daily yield now is an average that is greater than 54 milliliters per day, which is sufficient to supply the Giani town and all of the 45 villages within the scheme. Water recirculation for Giani, I'm not going to go into too much detail. The main booster pump has been completed. It has been commissioned. Boreholes to 50 priority villages have been refurbished. They have been commissioned. Village recirculation designs are now in progress. Emergencies are attended to kindly and promptly, and more villages now have supply, and consistent supply is being maintained. This is the one that I think we are most satisfied about. We are happy that we were able to deal with Giani and the great Limpopo earlier there. But we were saddened that once we found that we can find a hospital. But we now are able to announce, Chair, that the hospital has a secure water supply six walls have been refurbished and decommissioned, and installation of water purification plants is in progress and at an advanced stage. We've given you some site pictures there, so that again we are able to. It would have been nice to have you there, and if possible, to invite you to locations and take a visit there to actually see that the work that we have been able to accomplish. But these are pictures to indicate what we're putting in place. The wastewater treatment work intervention has the following: 1.5 millimeters per day expansion is complete and functional. A package plant has been put in place, as well as the fabrication is complete, and the Morocco pump station of refurbishment has also been complete, as we have indicated to you there. The Yani water recirculation, as I've indicated already, we have also completed the main booster pump, and the placement of a space of the main pipeline has been procured and delivered. I must indicate again that there's vessels pipes that are old, they are crumbling, and this is causing a huge problem with regard to the circulation. So as we complete the pump, as soon as the pressure is at its maximum, though the pipes rupture, and that is what's causing some of the delay with regard to water that must come out of the tank. And the minister director is clear, what I want is water out of the tank. So deal with any around the value chain there, but as I said, we are the devil for some of very, very old infrastructure, and so we are also decommissioning those asbestos pipes and ensuring that the main ones are in place. The action plan, I'm not going to go into it, this is just to indicate what we have been doing, and to indicate also around the amount that has been spent. Number one, Dili Mulema, district municipality in the north west, maintain bulk water supply action plan with regards to phase one, which was the refurbishment of the Mabato water treatment work. This was completed on the 30th of November 2014, with the last few adjustments to maximize output completed in February 2014. This intervention had increased the output of the water treatment work from an average of 9.5 milliliters to 17.5 milliliters, currently due to reach 20 milliliters once fully operational. So this has been one of the test stories that I'm happy to report on. Phase two of the upgrade of the Mabato waste water treatment work, that is underway and is expected in October of 2016, and will take the capacity from 20 milliliters to 30 milliliters. The principal chair, as you can see, is to plan for forward. So it's not just to deal with the existing demand, but also to look at the possible expansion of domestic and industrial requirements as we move forward. So we're already anticipating that area with regards to economic development. And we are using, of course, the provision of water, the provision of bulk supply, to unlock the economic value there, as has been articulated by the President so eloquently around the strategic infrastructure project. I mean, we must be reminded that is actually what the intention is to create a job, to grow the economy, and of course to push back the frontiers of we believe that we are now working in concert, given the way that the cabinet staff committee has been restructured, where we sit with the economic department, the minerals department, the energy department, and working in concert with each other, as well as with human settlements, to ensure that we are able then to make good on the principles of planning and development. With regards to phase two of the Lokaleng reservoir, the design work has been completed, and we envisage to start with the construction in April of 2016 and the completion date of July of 2017. We've given you a site with regards to the bulk water system and the financial implications for my case. With regards to action plan phase one, the site establishment is underway together with earthworks at the reservoir and procuring of the necessary material, that is the reinforcement steel, shakti and the like, and expected date of works is to be complete in June 2016. Phase 1B, which is the provision of water to Madiboko, and phase 2, on the balance of Rasu, the implementation regular studies have to be completed by July, followed by the approval process and implementation shortly after. Indicated to you what the funding streams are today, the funding requirements, as well as the expenditure that will be done. The final section, Chair, which is our selection for Minister and Deputy Minister, we believe that this is going to place a remarkable impact with regard to the current water losses, as was indicated by the President, is estimated at about 7 billion per annum, which is not sustainable. And given the errant nature of our country and the difficulties that we have with regard to water and the supply thereof, it is very much that we can ill afford. So we are now going to launch a war on water leaks program. All municipalities in the country are experiencing high water loss and the national average of 56.6%. That is massive. Examples of some of the vulnerable municipalities for province that are in excess of our national, we've indicated there to you, as well as we've illustrated by way of a graph where to give you a visual impact of how huge it is on the next page. There are, in terms of the categories of losses, there are physical water leaks. There's also the issue of unbilled authorized consumption of non-revenue of water, and the commercial losses due to unauthorized consumption, technical inaccuracies, and administrative inaccuracies. That, of course, must immediately indicate to committee that we also need to deal with our own systemic issues and become smarter in the way that we are managing, especially the latter part around the commercial office. So we will also look at some of those systemic lapses that are there, with the view that we are able to put in place much more smarter solutions in terms of then checking some of the unauthorized consumption, the technical inaccuracies, and the administrative inaccuracies as well. Rural communities have a non-revenue water rate of 72.5, while metros are averaging around 34%, and rural municipalities have such a high water loss despite serving less citizens in poor infrastructure. So this means there is a lock-on effect. If we are able to deal with the situation, there are losses, and there is a loss of revenue, of course, commensurately. Now, what is the proposal on water leaks? So step one, we are going to recruit 15,000 unemployed youth to ensure that they're able to win this water leak. It will immediately create, of course, a job for the youth. We will ensure that we are able to provide them with the training placement, and these will be in the area of supply. We will target scientists, but we're also going to work with our artisans and plumbers to ensure that they are able to hit the ground run and be practical in our application as well. And with regards to step three, there will be a rollout and a deployment national. This is a national program, and of course, we'll continuously have evaluations and then all identify further areas where we need to intervene. So it's going to be a rolling action plan as we move forward. Our proposal is real losses training program, real losses with regards to infrastructure assessment and unbilled authorized consumption and commercial losses. So we're going to look at plan all of the areas that we believe are leading to the losses. We've already indicated in the previous slide what those are. So the target is accurate and focused. With regard to our training program, it's for plumbers, graduate engineers, asset management, water quality, water conservation and demand management. With regard to infrastructure, assessment, specialized services, because we said we will have scientists then, which will be infrastructure conditional assessment for infrastructure priority. And then with regard to unauthorized, there will be training on administrators on accounting and water balance apprenticeship. With regard to furthermore on our resource categories, as we've indicated previously, we've indicated what the target areas will be, what the objective of each one will be, what our value propositions are, and what the numbers are that we are targeting for each of those. We have included our action plan for yourself so that you can have a sense across the MTS how we are going to implement the program. We have also, this is a preliminary budget that we have provided for you so that you have an indication what it is that we are going to do. But you see, again, the second political element, there is a loss, and we believe that the project will be able to pay for itself given the recovery that we are going to have on it. I will skip the outer slide just to indicate that the decisions under consideration is, of course, that we have to enter into discussion with the National Treasury, with COFTA, so that municipalities come on board, so we are able to approach it from national rollout, stakeholder identification and consultation, as well as budget provision has to be Chair, I will pause there, and then over to the Deputy Minister, if you want to report.
Thank you very much, Chair. All I can add, DG, is the fact that the water we've already launched two projects in Limpopo. We've launched 400 youth programs that are on training, and also in the Lanesberg here in the Western Cape. I was there, and 40 students are being trained. And yes, DG, you alluded to the fact that it is 7 billion, yes, and our target is 15,000. And one of the things that I can raise here is the Makana that we attended to. I think the MP from EPA were there, and Makana when there were problems, and problems are being attended to, and I want to also thank the chairperson because he was also there to look at these problems that are there. But I think for now, projects have been dealt with. It's a bit quiet at the moment, but it was the question of equivocation between the municipality and the people around, and we had several meetings with them, and we feel that some of the things that they've raised is a question of aging of infrastructure, which I think the DG has touched on. Thank you very much, Chair.
What does it do to end some of the issues that we have? One is that as we give you these programs at the national level, what emerges as a challenge that we are dealing with is the capacity of our aged infrastructure, and hence, again, a program that seeks to develop a national infrastructure master plan as part of the best basic program for all municipalities, so that then we deal with the aged infrastructure in local government in a much more coherent manner. Remember the point in the Back to Grades program deals also with the local government infrastructure for service delivery. Secondly, the issues related to water availability in some of our own communities have to do with acts of criminality, where property gets vandalized, where the effect of the infrastructure, and we have to now incur cost of putting up security to look after the infrastructure. That on its own becomes a problem. With our approach of dealing with water from source to tap, we also understand that almost all municipalities are water authorities. However, the incapacity in terms of human capital in local government sometimes poses a major challenge. We end up having to deal with the responsibility of local government on two folds. One, on human capital capacity to deal with issues, because if you don't have that human capital, you can't even do planning, you can't do continuous maintenance and so on. The second one is around funding.
there are conditional grants that go directly to local authorities that end up being utilized by local government. And those conditional grants, upon arrival in local government, we have no say. Even as we deal with the municipal water infrastructure grants or your RDIC, first of the matter is that there has been, over time, the inability to make sure that there is coherency. And hence you have a continuous problem, say like the story of Madibeng, which will then continue to be a problem because the grants go directly to a municipality. And only when there is now a problem, national government has to come. Hence, colleagues, we would want to come back to Parliament, who you chair, to say, let's look at these issues and define exactly what is meant by support. Because if national government is going to come in and make the interventions, as we see now in Madibeng, because we had to appoint our own water agencies to go in and do the work with our own resources. Really, we need to make sure that through COCA and national treasury, we begin to deal with the issue. There have to be consequences that are applied against those that are not able to deal with their own direct responsibility. The last comment I want to make is that just as in Giani, and I want to make Giani and Bushbuck region as well. We intervened in Bushbuck Ridge on a crisis level, but upon looking at the entire Mpumalanga and the status of Bushbuck Ridge, we came upon an appreciation that it will not help for us to deal with 3-4 villages where there are problems, but you rather deal with the entire Bushbuck Ridge holistically. Those who recall history of this country, that Bushbuck Ridge was part of your former government, yes, your Nadeg, that part, where there was no water altogether, water supply. So what we're trying to do now with the provision of piped water also has to do with the typology of the area, the cost of laying pipes there, the extent to which you have to actually generate water and store water. We have since said, let's go wall to wall and sort out the entire bush bubbles, because it will not help that we have sorted out to, I mean, the 23, whatever villages, and we leave other villages. But once more, the solution can't be a haphazard solution. There has to be a block by block intervention in a phase in a way. Clear a block, make sure that there's maintenance, go to another block, deal with that, so that then finally you have sorted out the entire area. So it would be correct to still see somebody saying, I'm in Bushbuck Ridge, I do not have water. Where is the missing link? It's poor communication. Because that's where you needed your ward councillor, that's where you needed the constituency office to be on top of issues and explain. And this is part of what we have also done at the national level, do you tell us? We want to, as we move forward, make sure that the processes and programs of water supply must now include community participation, because in many instances, water supply and programs that have to do with water excluded the participation of our communities. And hence now, we are moving with the establishment of project hearing committee, where you have relevant stakeholders in an area who understand what is happening with the project, where the project is going to, and so on and so forth, so that then we all have one common message. It's the same with Glenwiden. It's those kind of things that we have now agreed that together with the leadership of the Deputy Minister, she's going to be moving on in many of our areas to establish the project and committees, so that then our communities can be there. The network program that deals with the supply to ESCOM and to the MAN, we have actually said rather than providing 75 megaliters of a pipe, we rather go for 100, so that then you also accommodate the local municipality, and you don't only supply water to industry and have villages not benefiting. So it is that that we are now also emphasizing on, putting communities in the center of water supply and the development of water infrastructure, so that then we can make communities to understand what we are dealing with. The capacity of local government remains a huge challenge. In terms of human capital, but also the ability to fund and then through a project. We are, as a result, that we interact with FOCSA and National Treasury, and finally come to the legislature, which is the National Assembly Parliament, to honestly come and deal with this issue. Because in as much as to say municipalities are water authorities, some are not even viable. And we have seen the response of the demarcation board. We have 24 priority districts nationally that are said to be in a state of collapse that have been prioritized by national government. How do we deal with the situation where they get money directly, but they aren't able to provide, and we only come when they have abused or not utilized the resources, and then we come to me. I have said ordinarily that we would give you some funding, but what is unfortunate is that we can't leave our communities without them. So the authority of water, we want to review that and say, let's agree that the national minister, and in the process that we have inherited, because we have started before 2014, that the national minister shall be the custodian of water authority in South Africa. And then, as and when there is a need to intervene and deal with the issuing of licenses, water use, water management, it will start first to the approval of the national minister, so that then we clear these kind of problems that we have. In Zulu land, maybe to cite my example, what Zulu Natal is there about, but four systems that have been declared last time, eight systems will start to be declared a disaster area because of the floods. Easy solutions that have now become provincial solutions. You now have to be always reminded, like in Zululand, that we are a water authority. And yet, communities in Zululand do not have water. And you are now have that because that municipality doesn't want to be party to a provincial approach that has been approved upon. What do you do? You can't wait until people are out in the streets. You can't wait until the Human Rights Commission or somebody coming in. So it's these kind of unethical experiences that are complaining us to say, let's go back and review and see how best we can make sure that we make these solutions. But again, on the other side, in South Zulu Natal, even with those distressed, many of their distressed municipalities, there's better collaboration between the cities here, where they now have a provincial water and sanitation intervention plan, and they are able to manage their resources accordingly. So it's those kind of things that I think they will come out in the media as the problem, but it becomes difficult for a minister to come out and say, it's not us, the municipality, and you think and you fold your arms and not do anything. We need to look at that because in terms of the constitution and the laws of this country, it then becomes the minister who gets cited in court in terms of water supply and so on. And yet the authority was somewhere in the local consent.
We have been to Empule where we saw some challenges. And also the issue on water losses comes through there. We have been to Maribeng, I was in Makana. We also did visit acid mine drainage plant in Jemison. We also saw with our own naked eyes the potential of water that can come out of that. If things were all equal, the simple question perhaps that I thought I might wish to ask the minister and the team before we engage members, if you don't mind. The difference between, you see, this 37-38% that you've spoken about, will that include everything? Everything to me refers to illegal water or unauthorized water, and also water that comes out of old infrastructure. How do you delineate between these two? Is this one set of laws that is inclusive of both of these? I had thoughts I might wish to ask, because to me this is quite pertinent if we are to move forward with any of the solutions, and we need to be able to know exactly what it is that we're doing. When you are to say, here is a war on water leaks, and there is a figure of 38% that is being bandied around. I just want that simple clarity. Is that inclusive of everything? Yes, a quick one.
There's a slide, eh? In the slide that categorizes the forms of water loss.
Incapacity, the aged infrastructure, it speaks to that, especially the non-revenue
water levels.
So that includes. Thank you. I saw your hand, Makando, Ms. Basson, Babumbanjani, Mamkaula, Babunguri. What a month.
Up
to not that.
Oh, that's it, Miss. Where is that one?
Babunguri.
The popular one. Okay, don't talk.
Mama.
Well, thank you. I want to talk to you. The issue is for the country. The issue of water. It's a very appealing subject. It needs everything that has changed. It is true that we're entering into the where you are concerned that the entire infrastructure, both the water and the sanitary
infrastructure, is dilapidated, Chair. And we're told when we're there that for that infrastructure to be, they'll need around 1 billion rand. That's what we're told. To remove and put new infrastructure in order to deal with the issue of water losses. But again, I have been told, it's not indicated here, Minister, on the countries in terms of water losses. I've seen certain municipalities at the province indicated here. In Gauteng, there's Mfule. But we have been told that metros are the biggest culprit in terms of water losses. Particularly in Gauteng. You see metros there, they buy water from landlord. Rendu Water, we've been told they identify the issue of dilapidated infrastructure. And municipalities do not have capacity to deal with that particular problem. And Rendu Water make a lot of money out of it. Because if they buy a lot of water, that water leaks, does not reach communities, they will continue to buy a lot of water. And I'm saying, we need to, because the entities have got capacity and municipalities are not there, we need to create a synergy between the two. So that the ones that have got capacity are able to, because if you check in housing, there's no leakages from the bank. The leakages start from the community. We need also to deal with that particular problem. The issue that you raised, the Gyan issue, you're right, Minister. The intervention by Zbel in the Gyan area presented two things, the opportunity and challenges. The challenges are, there will always be, you know, in a week, you will have one or two interruptions of water supply due to leakages. And this is the issue which the mobile district municipality was not attending to. I can tell you, there's a lot of water now as we speak. But because of the interruptions of this pipe, you will always find Liberle attending to those. That's why I'm saying the issue has brought two issues, the opportunities and the challenges. Opportunities that you are able to identify those challenges and deal with it on the board. So these are the two issues that I wanted to raise, Chair. Thanks. Mr. Bakan?
Thank you, Chair, Minister. I would like to go to the Makolo and Kutulal scheme. I need some clarity there. The Majuki power station was designed to be a dry cool gold fire power station with a total demand of water of 15.4 million cubic meters of water, which 10.9 million will come out of the Makolo Dam. The balance of the water should come from the Crocodile River. My question to you is that when you applied in 2010 for the World Bank for $3.05 billion, the World Bank granted you the loan subject to that you put on a flue gas desulfuration mechanism on the Jupi. That will mean you will use 3 times more water. I want to know how we're going to deal with that. Secondly, it was indicated to us that the EIA has started now. I would like to know when the EIA will be completed. Secondly, there is still no servitude registered where the pipeline will be laid. Thirdly, I would like to know whether the National Treasury has already given a guarantee so the TCTA could go out to raise a bond, and whether they have received the bond. And then lastly, it is estimated that your 12 billion rand project will increase to 17.1 billion because of the delay of this project. Could that be confirmed? Who told me? It's engineers that worked on that. But the estimate of the escalation because of the delay should be in the region of 17 billion rand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. About 3 points, but before the first one is the list of villages. Can we have a list of the villages which have been completed and those, as we have on the other slide for other areas, those which have been completed and those which are still in the pipeline? And a clear copy of slide on page 23, please. I can't read what's going on there. Then with regard to the percentage water losses, I think we've got an enormous challenge, as Secretary has indicated and the Minister has already addressed, but I think it's far larger than what we actually anticipate. We've got, apart from the unbuilt, well, I'm speaking particularly to the unbuilt. I think the challenge with unbuilt is actually our challenge, because you can walk for miles and miles, street and street, in any given township area, you won't find operational water meters. If you do find water meters, those people are not billed. And then you have a further challenge. One is the will of municipalities to bill those people, and the second is the will of those consumers to pay. How are we ever going to address that? There are some practical things we can look at, but that, I think, the will on both parties is the biggest challenge that we are facing. And then the last issue I want to raise is the cost of our water, the cost of the treatment of our water. I'm a bit concerned with the large number of sewage issues we have over the past few months in many of our major rivers. This is contaminating our drinking water. How are we going to actually deal with that? Future bulk supply that we are planning, how are we going to ensure that that is actually treated? And the one issue when I think of that actually raises major alarm bells at the Atika River in Mpondo, in Mpumalanga, it actually feeds into the Swaziland air drinking water, and that is being contaminated as we speak now by a major sewage leak from the water treatment plant in Mpondo. Swaziland has actually requested our help, the government, to stop this leakage, because we're contaminating their water as well as ours. What are we going to do about that? Thank you.
Sorry, cost as it relates to what, production or sales?
treatment.
So, one more time. Thank you, Jefferson, Minister and Deputy Minister, for the presentation. Minister, I've mentioned a very important issue here, that of the relationship between your department and the Department of Local Government, the traditional area, when it comes to issues or questions of accountability. We've become very confused, not only for communities outside, even for some of us, which is very problematic. For instance, when communities don't have water, whom do we hold accountable? The child or the Minister for Local Government and Traditional Affairs? I'll give you an example of a minister. You will excuse me for being parochial, but I'm affected personally by this issue of non-availability of water to communities. My household, for instance, and then others around my house, my own house, were supplied by Shimola water scheme, which for 4 years now has become dysfunctional. I can afford the 400 rand when the private water tanker supply water, but poorer communities can't afford this 400 rand for 4 years. Now, you know, Mr. Minister, on Mondays we have to do our positions well. This Monday, what am I going to tell those communities who for 4 years have not had water? Because I am Home Minister, so I think it was 2 years ago, I received a letter from the Department of Water Affairs there, assuring me that about 1 million were there for the similar scheme, but it's 4 years now, nothing's happening. That's one thing. And the second issue, for the Minister, I would like to clarify on is these 1,500 trainees for that will be trained or for years. Who would be responsible? Is your department that is responsible for recruitment, or is it the local municipalities that are affected by the name that will do the recruitment and only train those? Because we're always cautious about these protests, especially when it comes to local government elections, when it comes to recruitment. So on, yeah. And lastly, Minister, connected to my first question, that of accountability. In the media, Minister, over a year now, we've heard about parts that were bought that aligned with for the very same scheme. Do you have any say when it comes to that, or is the Minister of Local Government that must deal with the implied corruption when it comes to those pipes, water pipes that are lying in the soil for over 3 years now? Then, Chairperson. I can confirm from Mbujani that we are not doing this issue for the first time. Both the similar scheme and also the matter related to the pipes. What I propose we do in our next meeting, even before we start our meeting next week, we get a response, a feedback on the specific two ones that you are raising. Thanks for that, and on your behalf, in fact, on behalf of UDG, apologies that the matter has not been responded to.
ungabona ukuthi emhlabeni kunzima kumuntu omnyama. And lenda ngisetshekula ikhansela lakhona usibiza. Kwalokho zikahlale nabantu azobathembisa bashiye ikhansi. Abanye amazwi kusho ukuthi ngempela iyakhanga iyakhuzelana nalo mhlango wamanzi ukuthi useyinkinge ngoba even nala bantu abaphuma bethi bayosiza abantu. Bayahamba bafika bashiye amapayipi kanjalo ayibalele ahambe. Abakhaleli ngisho izimali lezibewesa. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you, Chairperson, the Honourable Minister and the Deputy Minister. I have listened to the Minister's speech, but this really is a problem because water problems are a very difficult issue. Municipalities don't bother and are failing to take care of the people, especially in rural areas where there is no water. There is a place called Jepula in Ward 1. People are sick there and kids are suffering from diarrhea because of bad infected water. If they ban the weeds and when watering the sugar cane fields, people staying near those areas are affected and are suffering. The compounds also are infecting water in the same river and people drink dirty water. There is a tank that has been there for about 10 years. It was placed there, but it doesn't have a tax. It's just as good as new, and I feel people are being abused in that area. And I'm coming from the place called Indwetwe in Ward 3. It's been some years, there's been no water there. And in Ward 8, 9, 12, and Ward 1, there are no water taps. And the other issue is that when there is a road construction, pipes are destroyed, and water then leaks day and night, and nobody takes care of that. Taps are just leaking there and nobody is taking care of them. And something is wrong with in the municipality. If I can quote in Shani area, there was a water farm that was placed there, but was just close without informing the community in Ward 8. People are never informed about all this and there is still a great difficulty in our big area. I have something to question.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues. You know, the disadvantage of talking last is that all questions might have been asked. And the advantage is that I will talk shorter. Yeah. I want first to admire what the minister has said on the issue of the FMIG. The grant that we have to bring this issue back to Parliament and then we discuss about it. See, we cannot allow a situation where there are grants, there's a grant given to municipality, but the grant is not used for the right purpose and we end up taking the pay or the department ends up taking the pay. So somebody must be around here, bullet his own space and deal with that concisely. And also, I would love to admire the issue of the dams being constructed. The issue of when the pipes is moving across the communities, people should develop, should benefit from those things. And also look at the issues. See, I've been to Chosin when I went for oversight with the Department of Basic Education. And there, the mother cow, very disappointed, very much disappointed. No, when I was going with my colleague there, he showed me the places. Look at that, look at it. I was very disappointed. So we've been thinking about this issue. I will request the brothers and sisters from the department that when we've spoken about something, we must not come back and repeat one same thing. It's tautology. It's tautology, that thing. You see, we need, when we've spoken about something, that we need just a report. We are this far now. You see, and this is what we should, we are people, we are giving you the whole resources. What's the fast? I, Minister, in the project that you have given, that you have been reading through, you know, I proposed Umchindi Dam. I thought Umchindi Dam will be there in the proposal. Umchindi Dam, you can Umchindi Dam, but Umchindi municipality, Mpumalanga. Please, in our next word, please put Umchindi. I won't stop until something is done, Umchindi. These people are crying, Umchindi, I repeat, Umchindi Dam. Yeah. Mr. Benjamin, you must keep on talking about it. And then the issue of this leaks, war against leakage. Maybe I've missed the point. How long is this leakage going to, this project going to take place? Thereafter, do we have any technologies that the department is intending to use for in the long term? Because as the presentation was going, I have checked that no, it might not be sustainable for a long time. Is there any technologies that we think might be useful for that one? Then no, maybe I'm a TV fanatic. I like watching this National Geographical Channel. I look at there are pipes. No, you can see that there are trackers that are tracking water leaks. You see, they say they go directly to that particular spot. Is the department, together with the municipalities and other scientific institutions in South Africa, waiting around developing such technologies which will minimize the cost? Because we want to run around, you see, we know in the spot where it is, we won't be doing a lot of traveling. And then let me check something quickly, because I had other questions. No, I have a lot of papers before me here. Yeah. And the plan for municipality, I've heard when you're speaking minister, Josie, and the municipality did not commit funds, you see. What's the plan? Because we have to talk. When you say municipality and national government, this is one of the same thing. But the question is the accounting officers at the different levels. What plans do they have? Did you talk to them? What plans do they have to fund? Because we can have the recirculation, the dam, we can have the pipes, but if municipality does not come in terms of recirculation, the people will tell us there's nothing we've done, we see water is there, but they are not coming to us. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
You thought you were the last one.
Thank you, Chair. So let me just appreciate the presentation that has given us information on other challenges that we brought to also to tell the minister to be part of our meeting this year. I thought members will appreciate that because it was a long crying issue in this meeting with Honorable Kaul and Honorable Fasson. But they didn't appreciate that you are here, Minister. But we appreciate that. I just want to come with a suggestion, because we are having the most challenge here is monetary in terms of our progress. I just want to get clarity on the show. We talked about the steering committee. I didn't get to play what is happening about the steering committee. But if we can help also the forum, maybe a national forum, and also cascade to the province and municipality, they have to have their own forum in terms of use of water and sanitation, where they report the challenges and bring it to the province and national, so that we capture everything, every challenges that we have in our country, and address. We know we can't address all the things in time, but we'll be having a challenge. The challenge is what is happening, but also that issues to report to the community. Because the other challenge that causes much is the communication to our community. And I agree with the minister. What we want is only water to the community. The reports and everything, we don't want those reports. We only need reports that say we are seeing communities are getting water. I'm covered in the question that on issues of recruitment, who is going to recruit, but I'm not taking the last part of elections. We should not take everything that is because of elections. If the program was to come, it's unfortunate it comes at the time of elections, but we appreciate that. What we need to understand the issue of recruitment on the program. In assisting also the program of leakages, we used to have these basal meets that were used in our schools, and that competition was working. Why are we not also using that basal meet just to give a school bus, the students that the people should report the education at school. The one who reported more, just to get the school bag or something, cheaper school bag or shoes or uniform. That one will also assist us, because they used to do it, saving water at school, and the best school would get something. So I think we must revive that Bartholomew to also assist us in addressing education. And in also the communities themselves, the most best ones that have saved water and do something, to encourage that they must know that saving water is part of their life. Thank you, Chair.
I'm tempted that we do not extend the hand, but because there are only two, let's have Mabanitela and Kilamu. We'll come back on Makaula on this case.
Thank you very much, Chair. First of all, I would like to thank the department for having given Umak, who was buried in Buffalo Flats in East London in January, if I'm still right. I was really lucky to say thank you very much for a very dignified funeral, and the presence of the members here was appreciated by the family. Secondly, Chair, I want to say what is the position of us as a water department in terms of quantifying how many engineers we have got. I am saying this is that somehow I feel that there is a great need for engineers, and there is a great need for us to sit down and really look into this in totality, the water issue. Because water is being utilized differently. In Eastern Cape, we have a city called a city of toilets without houses. And it's been there for more than 10 years now, and we've knocked on many, many doors about how we can rectify this. Toilets are there and water is running unmonitored and they're just going. This is now in full force. But people are waiting for their RDP houses. I'm trying to bring the linkages between the availability of water and the houses. And there's not been a single house there for more than 10 years. It is a matter of equal profit passing the buck on another person and another a fear of government. So I really think that we need for more than 10 years. For more than 10 years now. Yeah. It is a matter of public works saying this, and then again another one saying that. So where are our engineers? What can we do about that?
May find that there were people who were sick with some water.
coming up with their thoughts, not knowing that there are people who are fighting there. And this can create a problem again that once the president in parliament, where the president was saying why city water is done as well. I think they must go back and check if really the 32 communities that they are getting water. Another challenge, I don't know whether there is a plan of coming up with giving up of new reservoirs. Because the issue of water shortages, more especially, let me concentrate on the 32 villages or the village mentioned around here. I don't think the shortages is because of reticulation. I think even the size of the reservoir contributes to the shortage of water. Because the reservoirs that we're eating is the ones that we inherited from the apartheid regime. And we all know that those people were concentrating only to some few communities or some few areas where white people were fighting, not including the black community. But since we are being as we are saying that we want to see each and every community having water, I don't think the sizes of the reservoirs that we are having can do that. And that will mean that we'll keep on saying that this community is not receiving water, that community is not receiving water. But if we can go ahead and check on that, I think we'll be correcting some of the things. Bearing in mind that they are aging infrastructure, some communities need to be regulated, but the issue of the sizes of the reservoirs. Thank you.
I think a lot has been said, members. Minister, I also have a question I raised earlier about the split between water that is stolen by some of the commercial players and also leaks as a result of old infrastructure. I'm raising this issue just because we have to be very clear as to where our targets are. To an extent we are able to say if we are to identify that you have here most of your commercial players being the ones with the graph that shall be tilting more towards the commercial players so that we have a sense. And I would imagine also interventions as a result of that in the department shall be quite pointed. And that would be the first issue. I raised an issue, members, with our chair. Ideally, our work supposed to be here on the ground. When you hear all sorts of issues being raised, you can switch off your mic, Mapirangul. You know, today is going to be, you know, migraine, the other day is going to be pushback reach, and the other day is going to be whatever, the quality. And clearly, we being the small now we are, whether or not we can be able to reach out to all those areas at the same time, big question mark. However, we did indicate at some point that last year, in fact last year, to be precise, that our committee has to must actually, when meeting for that matter, go out there and meet on the ground. The challenge that we have there is that we have other members that are serving in other countries. So you have that competing member who has to attend to other. But that is an issue that we need to attend to ourselves as members so that we plan in accordance with what is available on our own time. The issue about maintenance, we certainly are going to come up with all these other new infrastructure. If there is no budget built in that maintenance, we have at some point have to meet with the COCTA committee. But also on the other hand, the department on its own accord having to look into this matter. I don't know what budget we have on maintenance of our infrastructure. Precisely because with infrastructure being maintained, the lesser we spend than replacing that infrastructure, which could easily take you out of your own budget, you might not even have planned for. And then, of course, there's a point that's been mentioned by the Minister about deliberate upper cash. I would also urge us that we touch base with a committee that is dealing with police. I know for a fact that the police, they have a legislation in place that is coming on the of infrastructure, whether copper or valves or those. I think we need to touch base with the committee on police and make our necessary inputs to there be expected. So I thought that one should bring those also to the attention of... obviously, I don't know, the department led by the minister here might also make a comment here. It's quite an obvious one, Mr. Bafan. You know, I in my previous life, I went to Bombela, the Antwerp Freight Handlers Bay, 1997. We were doing some work, working for one, you know, investment bank, on attending to water in Bombela. There, your facility was literally designed for a population of about 30,000 people. Now, the population then grew within no time, within a region of about 400,000. Masulu and those other places needed, therefore, to be catered for by that facility. Therefore, it meant having to have a constrained facility. It then has to go for a concession, wherein Bywater won the project, and then I don't know who is there by now. I think there was change of, you know, hands on that privatized. But the issue raised by members here is very real and alive, that the facility that we have in a number of places. Hence now there is a situation where those facilities cannot handle the flood, you know, if not flood, what's the word to look for? The amount of influx, if you like, for lack of a better word, for those small and constrained infrastructure that have previously been designed, if you like, for a population, you know, of 30,000 in this regard, when it comes to Bombela, which unfortunately happened to have been, you know, a white population. Now, that's what we are doing. That's a legacy. I guess that's what we really also need to be aligned to Mamukawula in this country. And be able to call a spade. We have here, while apartheid is gone in 1994, but its legacy lives on. We are Tanda, our Tandi. That's what we are dealing with as we speak to. As to how long will that be, it is for us here to see to it that we expedite that process. But that's what we need to be alive to at the same time. But here we're dealing with a legacy that has been brought to us that we are carrying forward, which we are fighting against. That's what we are dealing with by and large. I just thought, let me just make those few comments, Minister. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to invite the...
Sorry, members, if we want tea or coffee, quietly in, I mean, out and in. Unfortunately, it won't be able to pray. I suppose that to be unilateral.
I'm going to invite officials. I see one has been out, but I will start with Suzanne Dire and move on to the other end with the officials commenting, and then we'll come back.
Thank you. I. Yes.
responsibility is the infrastructure, so I will give you those questions that were directly linked to infrastructure. The issue of water loss, because I'll ask my colleague in the regulator to answer on that one, but only Kiani, the better intervention. I think it is true that once we are trying to deal with the problem of Kiani, there are also other problems that are coming out on a daily basis. But the reasoning behind that is the problem is that almost all the pipes, the irrigation pipes in that in Mubani are empty pipes, aggressive pipes. They are very old. And the contractor has reported that while they are trying to fix and put pressure so that water can reach other villages, we're not using water. In the process of putting more pressure in the system, then the other pipes are better. And there has been a decision that has been taken to say, let us remove all those pipes. But the reality is that we are not dealing with the problem decisively. So the whole area of Mubani is going to be regulated with the new pipes. The pipes have already been delivered, and that will be applicable to all villages that have been experiencing water problems. And I'm hoping that we will also look, because when we approach problems, we don't just look at pipes in terms of the reservoir. If indeed, because a pipe laying project, you also need to make sure that you manage your pressure and also make sure that there is a system balance. There is a case where the system is not balancing, either because of the size of reservoir. Indeed, the contractor will come to us and indicate if there is a need for us to increase the size of reservoir. But I think primarily the problem is as a result of the AC pipes, where they are basing and when we put pressure on the system. On Mugolo, as far as the figure that we have in the department, it's the figure that we reported today. We're not aware of any changes in the total budget of Mugolo for Mugolo Phase 2. If there are any changes, I'm sure the minister will advise accordingly. At the moment, even as much as that information has not been raised with me, so I will not be able to own up to that figure that has been given by the member. Yes, indeed, Mugolo was lined as a dry equipment, and we did get the money. We also acknowledge the fact that there was a demand increase, hence the Mugolo 2. The Mugolo 2, we have realized that Mugolo 1 was not adequate enough. So we have now decided a decision has been reached by the Minister of Finance, Energy, and Water. And we are continuing with Mugolo Phase 2 in order to augment the supply of water that is needed for Mugolo to run. The Phase 1 is going to be able to supply water by December 2015. We have commenced with the EAA. It's going to be done by TCCA. It's very difficult to comment on when, ideally, but you will get your EIA approved because of the whole process of consultation. There may be objections and that, but there is a guarantee that is indicating that ideally we would want the EIA to be finished by this financial year so that we also continue with the design. The idea is that by 2016, we commence with the design of Mugolo Phase 2. And even the amount, as far as we are concerned, is still the same. It's the 12.4 billion that was approved. We have received approval from KRI for TCCA to proceed with the application of the funds, and that has been communicated to TCCA. In a nutshell, I think Phase 2, Mugolo 2A, has started. But you will only see construction next year because of the EIA process. Bushpa Bridge villages, we have got the number. I'm not sure whether the member would want me to give them in writing or to, or because we do have them here, but yeah. Water pollution, I will respond to a certain extent in the program that we are dealing with. I think the department is very much aware of the fact that there is a problem with our river health. There is a problem even with our drinking water in terms of pollution. We are not trying to dispose the problem, but the challenge is that
We are at the beginning of the village. There are other players at the end of the village that are contributing towards this. But there is a problem now that the department is funding. And maybe if we will come again and present the river health program. And this time around, we are trying to come up with a very vibrant strategy on how to deal with river health, water pollution in rivers. But also, on the side of municipalities, where in most cases we find that they are using our rivers and area waste because they are, the way they are wastewater treatment with. They are full, or in most cases, and they are not working because they are not being properly oriented. There is a problem again, as you will see in the next financial year, together with my colleague, the regulator, where we are trying to implement Section 63 of the National Water Act, which allows us to intervene and then request that particular municipality after we have intervened in terms of fixing the infrastructure, that that municipality then we can do that in the student municipality. We have started in the English plan, and we are again hoping that we are going to move through, and also again very energetic because it is a serious problem. We can no longer see that problem of the implementation of the 2023. We are working on resourcing that particular problem with my colleagues. That whole area of Nkanyabu has been identified by the minister as an area which we will have to use the same approach that we use for food preparation. We are looking at soft to have. We have had issues with problems in the matter. We are scoping the area, and we will not be. You know that there are projects that have been running. Some of them we launched them last year. But the change has been such that we're looking at the resources that we're having at that particular time. But now the approach that is being used is that cost, water, Department of Water and Education are putting funds together, and I'm hoping the Office of the Premier will also come into the fight and to come out with a budget that is going to look at how to be do the same thing that we did in Bushfire. That whole area has been identified as an area that in the next year or two must be fully regulated. And we are on site. We will be accelerating. I don't want to overcomplicate it yet because it's a big district municipality. I can assure you that before end of this financial year, we are going to see a huge difference because we have appointed to the water board, and we have invested to the rest. It's not an ordinary budget. It will have to be accelerated. They will have to put more resources on the ground, and those resources will be coming from different points, the way we did the bushfire bridge. At the moment, we are at the stage where we are hoping that whole program. I cannot tell you a verdict because we can't tell you before we finish our scoping to say a verdict when, but saying that it is it has been said as an area that has to be accelerated. And if you remember, the president also announced even last financial year that this area is going to be selected. I think it was during the Women's Day speech where he tried to indicate a bushfire bridge, and this area is going to be accelerated, and that is happening. But we will also make sure that when we implement the project, we get you involved through the committees that the minister has identified another great way. Sometimes we are doing the work, but because we are not very strong in communicating and we don't have structures on the ground that are informing people on what is happening, when will they get out. But with this one, there will be that committee, and we will make sure that Baba is part of that committee, and he is kept up on the progress. But it is happening. I can assure you that it is going to happen. We have funds already that we have set aside. Even not all over and above what we have, we are also looking at the current year area where we are not saying with those areas. Umkanyamu has been identified as those areas where we are going to inject more resources in.
Just one quick one. I'm being alerted here of an oral question, not oral, written question. The minister on the very same issues about Shemula and also Umjimi.
I was trying to get them to print those responses. Those responses were sent through in September, mid-September of last year. Out of questions that were raised in the out of this very same room in August, 20th of August last year. The same questions which we are raising were raised to an extent written question came with a written reply. I don't know whether you did receive those that letter, that written reply.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is the second point. That, you know, you feel alarmed inside because each time you ask these questions, you get the same answer year after year, which do not really respond to the reality. No, I come from that area. I'll be there over the weekend. You know, in some instances, there are big holes because there's also dark. Land that can easily sink into us all, trying to get some water. Now, we're talking about Shemula here. Just leave the whole of Mkanyango there, with the pipes there and everything. Just concentrate on Shemula here. Let's go on wrong. Because this presidential, that Matiba team, the first team he established there, for 4 years, what is it that cannot be got right to get that team back to functioning? What is it? Pinpoint exactly. I can't no longer stand in front of the people that, well, the million that has been budgeted, and next year you'll be getting more. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. For this chapter, I stood in the house. I said, in my own case, in my own case, I've even hired security guard in at night because I can no longer, for 4 years, I can no longer use toilet inside my own house. I have to go outside, you know, like, you know, those pit toilets. For 4 years, that's imagine, from an urban area, what could happen if for 4 years they didn't have water in their own household? What would happen? It's just riot, but people there, you know, live with hope, you know. One person said, like, the lady in an abusive situation who will only stay there with the hope that one day things will happen. This is what we're raising, Chairman. 2 years, as I said, Chairman, 2 years ago, I got a similar letter from one of the professors in the English department assuring me that, no, they'll be wanting this thing, millions of these budgets. This is very important. I'm sorry for becoming louder than usual, because it affects me personally, the community also. I know this, the effort, the budget, and everything, but it's not working out. My person is daily affected by the non-availability of water. Pain, you know, it's a pain. Authorities paid 400 rand because even the municipalities paid for the supply, water tests for the city. They're not disputed, it's not about the 5 minutes. I said, really, it's not really only your responsibility, but the other minister shares that responsibility. So I'm sorry, sir, but I did get that report, but this was not read for immediate need.
I think it would be very important to assume that there are no new developments. And I want to take responsibility even of what we have done over the past 20 years. Nobody in the union is even less than 12. There's a huge difference between what you got even in September in this letter and what is not taking place. The third part is that with an intervention of this nature, the first step will not bring a flushing toilet in the yard. It will actually entail many more other things. And it will go back to issues
of your own, and I agree with the chair, part of the Lemula team, remember, is an old scheme that was designed months ago, and what we have been doing was to try and do catch work, so it was never sustainable. Two, that we were, it was again, I have to say, President Nelson Mandela, these were some of the schemes that we're also trying to do away with the former Bantustans and stuff kind of infrastructure and incorporate. What is of importance is that we need a water and sanitation plan area by area, which has not been there. But I can say here, over the past 7 months, what we have refused to do is to plan and have a national plan that does not speak to what the province local authorities must do. That we have now, which I can understand, is that we now have an intergovernmental intervention in the sector. Already, we can even give an update on the response young of September against the current situation now. Remembering also, Babuji, I have also said KwaZulu-Natal has been declared a disaster area. There is generally a shortage of water. We have intervened with national treasury again in these first 7 months post-2014 elections. We have made an integrated intervention between COSA, ourselves, the provincial government, and national treasury to turn the situation around. What is a problem is that, and we will keep harping on this, I was talking to the chair about it. You then have expected that there will be no stopgap measures or interim interventions that local authorities should have put in place and so on and so forth. But to, and I would be willing, what you kept with your because if I do that, I will be copying and not be factual on what we may be in a position to do. So I'm saying now, personally, what we can do here is this report. And if this matter has become a portfolio committee's interest, we can come back and say, let's share with this house exactly in an activity plan. What is the program statement? What are the issues that you are doing? What are the decisions that you have taken and what is taking place? So that you are empowered as a public representative and go and interact number. The challenge with infrastructure is that even as you build a house, it does not become something convincing until everybody is faithful. And yet there is so much that goes with the implementation of the project. And I think one of the delayed projects which we all acknowledge is the Lemula scheme. It was delayed because of the incoherent planning, which we are now bringing. We are pulling everybody together to come in and deal with this particular matter. In the interim, I want to say to you, we will, in fact now I was talking to the MEP, of KwaZulu-Natal today, what is it that the municipality is doing in the interim? And she has just said, give me 2 to 3 hours because we need to have a meeting. I will just go and check with you, once you are dealing with this particular issue. But she comes back to those things about bad planning, poor management, which we are now dealing with that. I want to suggest that you can, and possibly, updating in that memo, DG and that memo, in an activity plan of what is now happening, how we deal with the situation, and knowing exactly where we are going.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. I did receive a correspondence from the department. But the answer they gave me is that they received the correspondence and they are going to let me know in due course, which is I don't know what time frame is a true cause. You see, it can be longer than 4 years. It's a true cause, you understand? In person, we must have specific time frames when we're speaking. We said we are radical in Parliament. Now when we speak, you say, oh, we are going to get by this date, or this is what we're doing. You cannot say true cause, and then you stand up for 5 months, it's fine.
Simple point. The question was saved, written question.
Yeah.
The written reply was given, but did you receive that written reply?
Yes, I received.
That tablet, what is expected and what is happening?
Nothing. I just read the letter. I will receive another, this thing is getting attention, and I will receive a corresponding issue course. That's what it ended. To me.
The written reply is here.
No, to me, that I received, yeah. Maybe it is sent to somebody else. They must have, they have to receive to resend it. I never see that.
Okay. Let's communicate that. Unfortunately, I was asking the PG to make a copy of this written reply.
Mm.
But unfortunately, the network couldn't actually pay that.
Okay.
But there is a written reply. Perhaps when we go through this written reply, we must engage having gotten through this plan. Okay. That's the only question I was asking.
Okay.
So sorry, I disturbed you, Ms. Mani.
I think other than the training of artists and 2,000 artists on war on hate, we're running various educational programs and campaigns, and one of them is will be running out in March, and it's titled Water is Not a Substitute. This is a campaign that will help government and the entire country on the need to save water. But probably it's a water and conservation program that is still running through. It still exists, Chair, however, we are trying to repackage it. And send it to school differently. I think the other comments are welcome. If you are really good competitions that we can actually learn in work and in school. And I think it's one of the strategies that we will incorporate in our plan that will allow the world to function.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a question that was unanswered, and just one follow-up question to allow me on the questions that I've asked.
Yes,
we're
not done with
training, because we're training people locally to use
the idea is that we are going to train them and municipality after the revolution is over.
Oh my
God. I know that I know you very well. You're not together. First of all, say, who will recruit? This is done by you. I was there also. And it never was like this. I'm not part of the team. I know that you're working. But municipalities are actually, they have the criteria of operating the land for the youth. We targeting the unemployment in this program. And the strategies that you went to link them, we were given by the municipalities, the students that were employed. And I think that this will really, it is my, one of my passions. I know that many times here in Leaders, to begin a workshop that is designed. And 1,000 or 50,000 number of people that were coming to me, we will make sure that in all provinces, because it's a quite, you know, serious matter. I know that the chairperson has asked many persons around for all this. Those are issues that we need to look at. Lastly, the minister, I do want to say, we should not forget that I'm not saying this because I want to talk to the minister, that you just attend, but I think that there is change. There are some people going to say, oh, 24 months, we've had a lot of 36 months, but there is change. And the reason that we are answering, you know, questions from residents, and there is no way we cannot say, we're not going to answer those questions. We will definitely do that. Thank you very much.
We have been able to raise funds. There has been work done twice in the 1995 to take responsibility of our program because it has the authority and the ability to go out and resource. So we are on call. We actually indicated the issues of what engineers have told you, they've not told me. I think they are not here also because I'm the minister, so that then we can all work from the same place. It doesn't help. And I think that would be quite important, honorable. If it is engineers working on the school, tell them to talk to their boss. This is the Department of Water and Sanitation. Because it will not help that they provide information from where we are looking at the cost as we have to work on the business plan. However, we all know that in the built environment, when you deal with construction, let's say when you do your own upgrade in your house, you start at a particular amount. But also, there is permission in terms of the built environment that your budget can be constant at a particular amount. And then there can actually be a deviation of what Margaret is 5%, 8%, even in the PMA. That's what is permissible. That if you started at a particular amount, you can then go up to a certain. Not unless you go beyond that, it must justify. It means you must go back to national treasury, you must then go and deal with the other things. And I'm sure it's those things that definitely have to do. I want to say also, there's been in some instances, all of us know, that in some instances it is the very engineers, but it's not Nombula, it's not Margaret, it's not Zandile, it's not Ken, who come to an amount of 12 billion. It is those people with technical know-how who design and finish everything. And post that, then you see the price escalating. Remember what happened to the World Cup infrastructure? That's what happened. We were cheated as this government. And it was called collusion and not corruption, but people thought it had to be money that way. So I think what must happen here when these issues are there, and that's why I asked who told you. Well, I would love to go to those people and say, are you here to come and make money? Because other people who are implementing for us delay processes so that they can also make money. So what are we doing now in the department? We are also putting better capacity in terms of project management. And what is called contract management. So that then when you deal with a contract, you are able to hold somebody liable to say, you have accepted with the subsidized houses. We have agreed that it will be 20 rand. You can't just tomorrow come in and say it's 6. Let's look at what has actually led to this. So part of what we're also looking at are the designs. Making sure that there is a standard of 6. The design of a dam in South Africa will be 1-3. On the key aspect, we know, of course, if the location, the land may actually add on. But there are things that are a standard. And if you ask me where have we been treated, it's around those levels. The cost of the pipe, the cost of the upgrade of the wall, and then at the end of the day, you pay more. Because all the debts, honorable person is correct, most of our projects, we don't deliver them at the amount that they were planned for. And part of where we have not been good at the government, our contracts were not protecting us as the state. So we need to deal with those issues around project management and contract management. For alerting us that that's what has happened. And for this, we go back to people on site and say, can you confirm, we still speak to them, but tomorrow we can have penalties against the people who do things in a different manner. Captain, we have raised this issue around the water resources and remember Makondo, you are dead right. Part of the water losses in the local authorities and particularly your metro do not even have to do with the age infrastructure. It also has to do with the test of water. Poor metering systems and all those things. The thing that was just raised Konamani Ubabungu about using innovation to monitor and all those things. Smart metering, better monitoring by the local authorities, the metro is also quite important. The land, water and everybody can only come in when people say we know the problem. And it goes back to that issue about us working together. It's not in their brief to say when the problem was a municipality and they must have for it. Hence we are now working with the three departments to say, let's have an infrastructure master plan that looks at everything that has to do with water, the backlog, and see how best we can go out and even raise the resources for this particular issue. But let's also deal with the billing system and deal with set of infrastructure and so on. You are right, the issue of the challenges, correctly so. It's a reflection of what the challenges, aid infrastructure, growth in our communities. The infrastructure was planned for 10 without saying, what do you do? The capacity. One thing important as well in this process is that in some of these municipalities like your Mufani, things like Mufani and some in Zulu, in Jolini, there were interventions that were put, and there were acts of corruption like in Madiden. What is important is for us to act against those that have actually wasted their resources and are coming in at the later stage to deal with it. But also the issues of technical capacity in those municipalities. That is what we have now done in Madiden. We brought in the Makhali Water Board to come in and provide technical assistance. But the reality is, if we move out, that municipality will not be able to get the work that we are doing. I want to suggest that there must be verification of the list and all those things, and it will be important for the department when they say village F is now receiving water. There must be confirmation by your councillor and verification and validation, so that then it's not your technical report, but there must be somebody in that neighborhood, and the best person will be your water manager, who must actually confirm. If you ask me, colleague, that's where mostly the target is weekend. Contact with the people. And that's what we're trying to inculcate now today. Don't give us reports generated through your technical work. There must also be verification by the end user in the community today. Or this is the problem. And the power and the capacity of the ward council and staff important together with the ward committee. We have asked Minister Jordan that Remember in the committee of the ward, when we elect the ward committee, there are different subcommittees. But in many of, actually it was not in the, in the sectoral work of the ward committee, water was not part of it. So part of what you are proposing is that in the ward committee, let there be somebody, that's not like they have somebody who deals with education, who deals with public safety, somebody who deals with health, somebody who deals with business development. Let's have a committee that also deals with issues of water and sanitation, given their importance and their own challenges, so that then we are able to give better feedback and also be given better feedback and oversight by those that are living in the communities. Honorable Member Maluleka raised something very important around the poor monitoring and evaluation of our projects. And that for me, if you ask me, comes back to the issue raising about the dam, comes back to the issues that you are raising about the villages and the education, because the systems have been very haphazard. What we are doing now, we are capacitating the office of the DG, the ministry, to also have independent monitoring and evaluation, so that we don't rely on the regions and the people who are responsible for monitoring to be the ones who are giving us feedback. We rather get feedback also from independent people in the course of the project, and not when the project is actually being concluded. In fact, and I think the other thing that you raised, which I think is also quite important, is incentivizing those who are saving the water. Very important. Let's not just talk about awareness. Let's also deal with the provision of incentives and the long-term solutions. The 15,000 young people who are going to be trained as accidents and so on are not necessarily going to bring everlasting solutions. Part of what we are looking at is the use of alternative technology in terms of our infrastructure, for example. We are working already with rainwater in the use of alternative material for tests. Because what we saw in the Northwest, that people come in and instill tests, even here in the Western Cape, in the West Coast, that's one of the things that was raised, that there's now theft of the test. So yes, for copper. Part of what we're looking at is what other alternative materials can be used. And we have alternatives that we're now utilizing, having worked with the Water Research Commission, the CSIR and the Department of Science and Technology. It's the same pipes and all those things. So that we don't have this problem of the boreholes being vandalized because somebody just wants to push the same thing in Bushbuck, they still the bell. Every day you hear a problem in Bushbuck. And you ask what is important about the film, about copper. So the use of alternative technology for infrastructure becomes one of the important things that we definitely have to look at. Sewer and the water treatment plant. It comes back to what Mbuli has agreed with me on. So let's discuss this thing. Because when we're sitting here as colleagues and somebody sitting somewhere in Zaki, they do not know who is responsible for the water treatment plant. They know that government must respond. And if we do not have those kind of open discussions and finding better solutions on how we move forward, but it's also not, it doesn't make sense to be told that no, it's your municipality, it's not us. There must be an answer from government. So we need to look at those things of the sewer stages into our river system. This is a big challenge in terms of water quality. This weekend, there was a water contamination in one of the municipalities in Bumala, and somebody sent me a picture. And it was all because municipalities do not, they say they don't have money for scraping of, what is this thing, the river bowl. You think that you have a river bowl, you should be. It must be something that is not a surprise. It just doesn't make sense. And when you, and the response is, and when I then went back, they were can national government help? And I said, but why do you call yourself a municipality? Well, that's part of your comment. Why do you call yourself a municipality? If you can do t-shirts, you can do a golf tournament, you can do many other things, but you don't budget for your whole business. Which then takes me to this question. You can speak here, colleague, as the water and sanitation, but my own feeling is find things to engage with COPSA. So that then your issues that have to do with water and sanitation, you hold COPSA also accountable. Mm. So that then not between me and the minister, but you exercising your own assignment, you'll appreciate the extent of the disjunction to say, in our space as the national committee and in the space of national government, we've done this. But finally, my government doesn't have one. Kota, what are you doing? Help, and I think that's part of your advocacy work to also hold myself and the minister, because I also would only go in when the minister of Kota says, minister, you cannot go with him. So it's those analysis of our own system, and if you ask me, that issue of the system X is something that you yourself familiarize yourself with, that then makes local authorities the water authorities. Two, we need to also open up to the issues that have to do with the water strategy itself. Where are the gaps? If the NDP talks about gaps, what is it, 12 to 10, and we're saying this is where we want to go, how do we clean the entire thing change so that then it can be coherent? At what point does the National Minister of Finance decide to release the conditional grant to a municipality? We are not in the same. It is just been given by a national treasury, and then it goes directly. We don't even aware of that. And by the time something hits the bank, everybody says, minister, can you respond? There's a problem in Blue Hole. Minister, can you? And you come to realize that it's our own legal framework. 20 years down the line, can we leave that with you? And I'm saying, let's look at the system, let's look at our own strategy, let's look at the roles and responsibilities. And I think for me, as a strategic level, and the portfolio committee, sometimes it needs to let the commission your own research and come back and look at where are these missing links and bring COPSA portfolio committee together with, I think finance will also report, where we all look at these things holistically so that then as we generate water, as we lay bulk infrastructure and all those things, somebody must say, how did you then leave? And I'm going to that slide one. How do you continue to give my then conditional grant when the conditions are not agreed upon with water and sanitation? Why do you call them conditional? Let's talk about it. And how do we then continue to say we're going to give Madigan support when Madigan doesn't even have a professional hydrologist? Which brings me to what member Balindlela has raised. The skills, audit, and the capacity of the state to deliver depends on three things. One, the manner in which the state is approved in terms of the Public Service Act. There is no way that you can have a hydrologist that will come in as a deputy director. And it's those kind of things that you definitely have to look at. And there's no way that a hydrologist can go and stay in the country with no resources, and the municipality that is in a lower category that cannot pay him up or her as it takes. Why is this that the state must do? My view is the state must buy the skills and not employ people on the basis of keeping in the game. If you have to buy the skills, the person that is running here can tell you, you cannot wait for a professional project manager. We have this issue of being played against one another by engineers and stuff. If we don't have professional engineers, we will continue to have this. So going forward, these are some of the things that we are looking at. Say, let us be allowed to not have 20 DPGs who will go and look for consultants to work for them. Let's get a pool of professionals who will do the work and repay them the salary that will actually make them to remain as assets of the state. Because for us, we will permanently be these resources. So it's a very, it's an honest and a demanding issue. Minister Patel from the PICC, ourselves and the Department of Energy, we are going to be the first to pilot this thing of, and the Minister Kala, to pilot this thing of buying the skills necessary for development campaigns. So that then our infrastructure programs, if you look at the money goals link, it's called professional, what do you call it? Professional services. Yes, it goes more there. Why don't you have? Because we know that we've got plans, projects that are going to go up to a particular point. Buy those skills, keep them there, let them serve all the projects that you need. And I think if it's that, that we definitely have to do that. Not colleagues, you are going to be the ones who always come and say, you are employing too many consultants. We can buy one, but as we stand now, you will forever look for a company of engineers. And they will be put as under consultants. And yet it is the skill that you need that the public service itself cannot necessarily allow to be in our system. So I'm saying it is one of those quality issues that I would suggest that we interact and deal with together with the three water, energy, portfolio committee, finance. I don't know if Minister Patel has a portfolio committee that he works with. But I'm sure if you are all together, you can very much ask Minister Patel on how we are trying to build the capacity of the state together with Minister Chaban to deal with these issues. Lastly, the war on leaks, we're working with Randwater. In fact, Randwater is going to be our implementing agent across the country. Well, we're taking this to a higher level, not just giving it to local authorities. So Randwater is going to be our project manager. It will do everything that has to do with the content, that has to do with the identification. And I would suggest that colleagues, we appreciate that the task is not going to be everyone equal. It's those tabulated municipalities, employees being picked up. It's one of those municipalities that we have identified as priority ones. And then the second thing will be on just water leaks and all those things. And then the third one will be around civic and community awareness. That's how the program is going to unfold. And these, somebody said there will be water ends, I don't know. They say that's the most clever end that you have. It harvests water for it rises. I like how to waste water ends. We want them to become a platoon of the country, and hence the recruitment will not be a local government, but it must be across the country, organized through Randwater and being utilized by Randwater. Then we can continue to have these other programs that the municipalities are working on. Thank you.
Time now is almost 5:01. Whatever we say, it has to be within a very, very quick limit. Mr. Papa?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to thank the Minister for her answer on the pricing of the pipeline. Although there is some other questions, I will answer in writing, which I know the usage of water is a problem. What I would like to thank the Minister is for her intervention with Magalies in Maribeng. In the report that you received in April, 14th of April, that Helga Miller did for the department, for the previous minister, before you came in, mentioned that in Maribeng, the water purification plant should be transferred to Magalies. And I would like us to see how we do that, because municipality is taken out of 154, section 154. The previous municipal manager has been placed back in his position,
although the ministerial crossing report indicated that he must be criminally charged, he's found not guilty in a disciplinary hearing. So that municipality is back, and the municipal manager now is pushing to get Tarvat back and chase away Makhalis. So I agree with you that for the sake of the people of Maybem, that Makhalis should stay there and the municipality should buy their water. In that same report, it indicated that Maybem's loss of water is 75%, not like the average in the country. Yeah, in that region. So my plea with you is the problem, I understand your problem, that Kafka has taken the decision to leave 154, and it leaves you now with an institution there that you need to take up with them, and for the grant is the same. When they started 154, they did not only scrum one thing, they only scrum now 60 million rand. So 154 was not good for money being, it was bad for money being. But my plea with you is that if this portfolio committee must assist in having discussions with COPTA, we must do it. Because if you take out Makhan's day tomorrow, 6 months later, you will be requested to come back. People will die for water again in that area. It's just one of those municipalities that if you don't keep hands on, they just leave the coffers.
Thank you, Mr. Watson. I think the comments are well taken. I hear everybody else from Minister to Chuki nodding. That's it. I guess the point has been made also quite loud and clear that interaction with the court committee is quite essential. If we are to see ourselves making any headway in whatever we do. My observation, members, is that this being a water and sanitation committee, this being a water and sanitation department, we only literally were dealing with water, which then leaves us again with a very, very serious issue related to sanitation. We need to have it on our program at some point that we have a very clear agenda as to how best do we deal with issues of sanitation. In the main, for me, is the issue about the budgeted eradication program. To an extent, my lobby seems not to have yielded any results, because I've been trying to lobby so that it is clear this year of budgeted eradication. I spoke with Mr. Singh here. What's his name again? The SNGG? GDG? My bad. I had a chat with him the other day, again on this very issue, loving him again. But more on a serious note, we have it though on our program. We really get a sense from the department as to what program do we have on budget eradication within the year. Members, I think we seem to have covered a number of issues. There are, I'm sure we shall have that written reply stipulated to all the members, specifically on the Shemula scheme and also on Mjine. So that it does not only get only to the respective members. Once again, members, as we draw closer to adjournment, what brought us here is a mandate of our respective constituencies for the simple and sole reason to improve their lives for better. Nothing more, nothing less. I always say that what really brings us together as a committee, in that reason, we have no other business. As a result, we find ourselves having to talk one language, that also having to say we are united in that agenda of bringing about our people a better life. whatever happens there in the house, you know, in the matter of the house. But where work matters most is in our community. That's where we have to say we are now making a headway. What I would appreciate for members to do is to receive those draft programs and reflect on that and be able to make comments to the committee secretary. However, for the next week's program, we have the water boats. Instead of having to have 9 or 10 of them, we shall have to deal with 4 of them. It's Ren Water, it's Litelle, and Satuzi, and also Amatoni. So those are the ones that we shall have to deal with. We're dealing with their annual report. Also, having to remember that the water boards, their financial reporting system is different from national departments. Theirs is in July. The results hence come now only. We're meant to have had this session in January, February, last February. and the other assessment agencies, we dealt with them sometime last year. That can include Rieger, something, the CCA, you name it. I wonder whether we haven't arrived at the tail end of our session, and once again, Minister and Deputy Minister, thanks for your time. And I appreciate, I guess, you know, the challenge you are actually confronted with is the fact that you have cabinet meetings on Wednesday. You therefore have to see yourself being split into two. Without seeing that day, wherein you come with your arm. I am informed that there is lunch, so that we don't have to rush for lunch elsewhere. Otherwise, it shall be present. I'm not going to be able to do that.